coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America. This is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Broadcasting veteran Derek Pearson.
When you find something that moves them, that makes them smile, celebrate it. That's your task. That's your superpower.
Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman.
Rifles a pass. It was tipped. It's picked off by Foreman. He's at the 15, 10, 5. He'll score!
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up, Austin?
Jay, what's good?
Man, your boy been going through it, man. My foot hurt, man.
Your foot?
Yeah.
Stub your toe or something, or worse?
No, nah, I got my ankles broke too much when I was playing.
Shoot.
And you know, I know Chancellor and Mikey was capping on me talking about my ankles are degenerative and stuff, man. But this ain't no joke.
It's just disrespectful. It's just rude, you know. They got to treat No G with at least a little respect once.
I know, man. When you lay the jelly down like that, man, you thought they'd at least, you know, show a little love. But it's all good. You know, I'll give them a break. But anyways, it's a two-man show today. Austin Orman, Jay Foreman. We are the Old School Crew, brought to you by the Mercado, Certified Piedmontese, Special Ingredients and Butcher Shop, 84th and Havelock, 30th and Yankee Hill, 85th and Andre Madden, 168th and Maple. You see that background? I got the Jay Foreman YouTube channel back there.
It.
You go ahead, like, and subscribe back there. Look at that dude right there. Like, oh, left side. Look at that. Woo! Look at that dog right there.
Oh, woo! Talk about OG. Dog. Talk about putting
big
that jelly down.
Big shout out to the Nia Davis, man. She hooked the brother up, man. But, you know, Austin, this is Separation Saturday, Jack. It's Separation Saturday. It's on like a pot of neck bones. And it's do or die, Brooklyn, New York, both in the Big Ten, but then also, you know, throughout the nation. I mean, you know, national, you got – you know, Bama, you know, Bama and LSU. You got Colorado, Texas Tech. You got Georgia in the Fighting Lane Kiffins. I mean, it is on. And then just tonight, we got Iowa, UCLA, upstart UCLA in Iowa. You know, coming on late. So I think that's going to be a great game to watch. But, man, it's serious, man. And, you know, obviously we got the Huskers off and you know, we got to win the bye week, and the bye week is, you know, we used to remember, Austin, we'd always say, Huskers got to win the bye week. Mm-hmm. Hey, right now, it's a must that you actively win the bye week. And there is a way to do it. I put out the Foreman's four here on it, but it's all mental. It's all mental, Austin. And we'll dive into this a little bit. We'll just jump right into it since we got a little bit longer segment. You know, one of the biggest things, Austin, that we have to do as a team, and I want your opinion on this, and I think it's a three-game season, right? And it's really, to be honest, it's a one-day-at-a-time season, but let's be honest, there's three games left. Mm-hmm. So I think you got to – everybody on the team, coaches and everybody involved with the football program, have to immediately refocus. You can't worry about what you did. You got to worry about what you're trying to do. And so the focus is – these next three games, one, obviously, we got to become bowl eligible, and we have got to put ourselves in the best position to win every single one of these games. We got to play winning football. So that you have to refocus both individually and collectively. So if you had a good season, you know, like a Ty Robinson has been really, really consistent, been good, you got to refocus that you want to even end even better. You want to be a better leader, so forth and so on. And if you haven't really, you know, finished the way or played like you want it, you got to really focus to make sure these three next games are, you know, the best you can do. And then as a team, you have to refocus. You have to really be refocused and be laser sharp with your now present day focus, you know, because that's going to be huge. And I think number two for me, Austin, is, you know, I think this is the difference. And I know this from coaching, but, you know, also just from, you know, outside looking in, they need to do less hearing and more listening. What's the difference, right? It's philosophy. We're philosophizing here on Friday, even though philosopher begins with a P, Friday is with an F. But when you have to do less hearing, what do you hear? You hear how great you are. You're getting close. You hear a lot of the moral victories and all that. Now you got to start listening to why you played good, how you can play better. You got to start listening to what you can do better, and you got to listen to how you need to go about it. That's the difference. Sometimes you can get blinded by hearing too much, right? Hearing the noise. The noise is always negative. The noise can be too much positive when actually the only positive that matters is the win, what's in the win column. And you need to listen how to continue or how to start or continue to play consistent, competitive, championship type of football and get yourself a bowl eligible and then some these next three games.
Is there even more of a temptation or a challenge to do hearing more than listening at Nebraska with how focused the state is on this team and this program?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think it's the greatest attribute. We talk about this all the time, but then also it's your biggest kryptonite. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in young kids, you can't fault them. They can't really decipher between either. And it's a easy crutch too, right? So even, you know, look, a lot of the fans now they're on, you know, all the social media, you know, I don't even know if they were born when we were really rolling, let alone even like in the 2000s. And, you know, I mean, obviously most of them been around 2009. But you think about it, Austin, you know, it's an easy crutch because, you know, like instead of, you know, listening to what you need to do better and then also listen to how you did play good or how you were be able to perform on certain plays, you could just get on Twitter or your social media, post a couple of things. And next thing you know, oh, man, we love you and all this. And as they should. But that could be your crutch. That could be your Band-Aid versus facing, you know, reality and also dealing with adversity. So it's your best because, look, we travel. Right. And, you know, we've heard the stories, you know, Indiana didn't know we traveled. Everybody else, you know, they found out that we always travel. The team is supported both home and away. And then you're at the point now, you know, it's your best attribute, but could be, you know, I wouldn't say your downfall, but a little bit of a kryptonite when you have a young team. This is a young team with senior players, a young team in learning and actually knowing, accepting, and dealing with winning realistic expectations. That's what's where we're at right now.
It's an interesting sort of dynamic for this team because especially on defense, right, a whole lot of upperclassmen, juniors and seniors, with some freshmen and sophomores sprinkled in. The offense, you know, the offensive line's been around for the most part for a while. You went and got transfer guys in the skill positions. Starting running back Dante Dowdell, the two receivers outside as well. Tight end is an old room that's been on campus. Really, the youngest position on the team, Jay, is quarterback. Like, by far, it's quarterback. It's Dylan Raiola, his first year in college. Heinrich Harburg, his second year of being developed as a quarterback, really. Daniel Kalen, who's new to college football as well. And Jalen Gramstad's in the room, you know, again, new to the level of college football. So you can say Nebraska is an old team and be right. You can say Nebraska is a young team and be right. But more so than just number of snaps played or amount of actual game experience, I don't know if the right word is football immature or naive or they just don't know what they don't know. Because it's hard to say this team doesn't know how to handle success because five wins isn't success, right? Winning five games is winning five games. So I don't want to give this team a cop-out and say, oh, they don't know how to handle success. When it hasn't really accomplished anything yet, it's on the doorstep of accomplishing the bare minimum and getting to a bowl game. But I hope that there isn't the temptation to hear how great these guys are because they haven't been great yet. They've done more than some recent teams, but they haven't done enough to be considered great, especially not by Nebraska standards.
Yeah, but you know, it's two things. Number one, Austin, you're 100% right. They haven't been able to decipher, you know, the difference because it's hard to do. Look, you walk away from a game and you get close. I mean, I always reference to the best 3-9 team in NCAA history. Look, dude, you still 3-9, brother. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that was a badge of honor that everybody rode around with. And then, you know, for a young kid, you think like, okay, we're close. That's when you're hearing a lot of that stuff. You're hearing it, and it's a negative in reality and factual, but it's a positive what you're hearing, and that can blind you. And yes, the expectations are what it is around here. The expectations had to be adjusted. And actually, when you look at it, so instead of saying, hey, look, man, you know, I always hear people talking, again, I talk all the 90s and this, and we need to chase this championship, you know, recent championships. Listen, a championship is a championship. Listen, national champions, I'm going to tell you, and I keep saying it, just take what the 90s did and just forget about the players on the team, okay? Mm-hmm. Hard work, selfless players over selfless players. We punch the hardest. National champions generally are the most physical team, and they will punch you harder and longer, and also you get the discipline. And then you do all those things that I'm, you know, and that's a very short version. You do all those things, And then all of a sudden, you know, those athletes that you started to you recruit, they start to become average players, become good players, become great players, become, you know, iconic players. And that's how you're able to have guys that I played with up in that stadium. But then also let's look at the expectations and the opportunity right now. This is what I would tell these kids. You have a great opportunity to come to one of the top 10 renowned blue blood universities. Mm-hmm. With the lowest expectations now. And if you come in here and dedicate yourself for 4 years or three, 4 years, and do everything that you can and listen to the coaches and develop yourself on and off the field and everything you need to, and along with NIL, you'll be a legend and won't even have to get to the college football playoffs. You just got to get us back into bowl contentions, New Year's Day bowl. And maybe we get into the 12 now, 16, maybe in the next year or two. And you'll be a legend. They won't even be talking about the old Jay Foreman and Tommy Frazier and all that. They were, you know, they'll make excuses for you talking about there's no way those old dudes and those old teams could survive in this day and age of college football. So really, to be honest with you,
Hey, what's up? It's Wilmer Valderrama. You know, a lot of us don't think twice about our tech. Millions of Americans struggle to connect to today's digital world. And that's why this story really hits home for me. I mean, I start thinking about my upbringing and myself growing up in a world where, you know, you needed every possible tool or help you could get to actually allow you and afford you a bigger dream. That's why I love what AT&T's been doing. They're doing something amazing. I mean, they've launched an effort to equip 20,000 students with laptops, backpacks, and school supplies. Seattle, for example, they provided 250 laptops and backpacks to kids who really needed them. Now, you might think like, okay, 250 kids, that's nice, you know, but stop to think for a second, like the impact of what this could do for a community. Imagine, you know, 250 kids getting that kind of help. It's huge. It's not just happening in Seattle, right? AT&T is doing it all over the country. I'm just proud that AT&T is helping connect the next generation to a brighter future, and that's pretty special.
Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
But the expectations are easy. You just got to go do it. Look, the expectations and what you need to do to be successful is easy. It's just hard to do right now because it takes sacrifice. It takes dedication. It does take a team, right? Mm-hmm. But you got to be able to push guys. You got to demand it from you. If I'm giving 120%, I want your 120%. I don't want your 80% just because you don't feel like it.
And your 120 can't make up for their 80. It's not how it works.
Right. Right, because we all got to be in 120 because we got to assume everybody's at 100. In order for us to catch up, we got to give 120%. We have all got to dedicate ourselves, you know. And so, you know, that's where, you know, they're at. And then, you know what? We got two more things here, Austin, as far as what these guys need to do, you know, for the rest of the, you know, this bye week. And the bye week's over. They got to find a rhythm in all three phases. And I look at it like, everybody, you know, we got a consultant. Everybody's trying to, you know, trying to figure out who's going to call plays, what's going to be the difference, and you know, and all this other stuff. We got to find a rhythm. I think calling plays and playing, getting in a rhythm. We saw it, I think, at times when Nebraska got sped up against UCLA. Kind of, I wouldn't call it tempo, but it was a little bit more tempo than slow. I thought that, you know, Dylan played, you know, at the right tempo and the right pace. You know, took the thinking out of it, and everybody else started to step up. So, you know, somewhere in between there, get some continuity in the play calls. Then you play off your special teams and defense. Then all of a sudden the team looks like they did in their beginning of the season. You got some rhythm, right? Mm-hmm. It's almost like calling plays that I was told by Wade Phillips, and Ted Cottrell and Dom Capers is like dancing. You want to get in there, get a rhythm with your partner, and your partners now are your offense and defense and special teams coordinator, and they all got to be together along with Coach Rhule, getting a rhythm. And then sometimes, you know what, Austin, I'm not a very good dancer. You might step on some toes, then they got to have your partner get you back on rhythm. What does that mean in reality? The defense is slipping a little bit. The offense got to pick it up and keep us back on rhythm while the defense adjusts. The offense is slipping a little bit. Special teams got to make a play, keep the head above water and tread water and do all that stuff. So that's really that's number three, get back on rhythm.
Get to number three really quick here, Jay, it's the I'm reminded of that Bruce Lee quote where he's not afraid of the guy that practices 1,000 kicks one time. He's afraid of the guy that practiced one kick 1,000 times. And that's identity, right? Nebraska right now, you can't see anything that they do easy, right? Nothing that it seems like they could run with their eyes closed or they're sleepwalking through a play. They just know it so well, right? So for me, there's a very fine line between being good enough at something basic and being unoriginal, being uncreative. I think for Nebraska, these last three games, last 4 weeks, right, with the bye week and then the last three games here, find one play that you rep 30, 40, 50 times until everyone on the roster that could possibly run the play knows it. You run it perfectly that many times in a row. Once you have one down, run a second play 30, 40, 50 times in a row till you have it down, because Nebraska is not so mentally talented to be able to handle 1,000 plays, right? Very few teams in college football, NFL football are, and I know that's a big exaggerated number, but Nebraska also hasn't proven to be physically talented enough yet to just run one play or have one concept be their identity. So of course there's a balance. Of course there's a fine line to walk. But for me, Jay, when I grade and look at Nebraska, looking at the offense specifically through the rest of the year, is Nebraska telling me what it wants to be as an offense moving forward? What are the things, what is the thing that they have decided to work on? What are they telling us is the concept they want to rely on moving forward?
Yeah, I think, you know, you're saying practice with a purpose and practice with that purpose until it's perfected.
Yeah.
And then you can make the average play look extraordinary and all the, you know, the catchphrases. And, you know, I think sometimes people worry about what the coaches say, what they're wanting to do as identity versus what they have to do in a game. And sometimes, you know, game plans get thrown out. Trust me, I've been there. we had a game plan and the next thing you know, it wasn't working. And sometimes that's predicated on what the other two phases are doing. So, you know, really what it needs to happen. And this goes into number four, you know, these seniors, right? And the guys that have been, you know, these next 3 weeks are going to be your legacy. This is your legacy. Right. But this goes into what you were saying, 4 weeks, three or whatever you want to call it. And you want to extend that. Right. You know, I think that you just need to get back to playing sound football. You know, what I'm saying is crank up this. We need to turn the heat up. Right. There is no time. There is no tomorrow. Right. We the first bye week came at a good time to get, you know, kind of re-energized and refocused. Obviously didn't come out of the bye week looking good. This is another one that said, listen, we actually need to refocus and we don't need to worry about if we're sore or not, because everybody's sore, right, you know, at this point in the season.
Right.
So, you know, I know what you're saying. And I think the biggest thing is it does take time. And, you know, to be committed to something and being new to you, it does take time. It was never going to be easy. But, you know, on paper, you know, people thought it was going to be. And so when you haven't lived up to expectations up to this point, there's two things you have to do. You can sit there and like flounder in it, or you can buck up and understand that you can do more. You know, this is a great opportunity. You got to think about this. These guys get bowl eligible and say they're able to pull off another big victory. The legacy that will be written on these older guys is going to be etched potentially is a big part of the second part of Nebraska football, right? So just say the first part is all the way through the very beginning. It's probably other parts, but just think from like, let's say late 1960s, right? All the way up to, let's just say up until Grandpa Mike took it, Mike Riley, right? And then the second part, right? And you know, let's say like to the end of Bo, right?
Sure.
Well, the second part was from Mike Riley, you know, from here on out. Hasn't been good, right? Hasn't been up to standard, you know, hasn't been even when Bo was here. But then you start to get bowl eligible, then you start to put stack 7, 8, 9, 10 wins together. They'll look back at the legacy of these last three games. Here's why. Because you had three games and, you know, you lost to Indiana. Obviously, you embarrassed yourself against Indiana. You lost to Ohio State. It was a valiant effort. Let yourself down against UCLA. Then somehow, some way, you were able to go into the bye week and do all the things I just mentioned, and plus whatever Coach Rule is saying, probably Coach Rule, what he's saying first. But then you're able to do that and then be able to get bowl eligible. And then hopefully 5 years from now, they'll look back on these guys. These guys did everything that they said they were going to do. Might not have been perfect. It might not have been, you know, the greatest picture. But at the end of the day, the painting was painted, and the painting that you want is to be bowl eligible. You know, at the end of this year.
When you talk about cranking up the heat, I really like that example. And I think it can apply to old guys, young guys, and everyone in between, right? For the seniors, if they crank up the heat, they do something they've never done, they finish the season strong and get to a bowl game, they can say, we accomplished what our goal was before the season, right? We were the team, we were the guys that were the leaders that snapped the bowl-less streak, that snapped the bowl drought. Is it everything we wanted to accomplish when we got here 4, 5, 6 years ago? No, but it's what we wanted to accomplish this year. We can say we finished our careers, not prideful, but we can hold our heads high. We can walk out of here saying we know we gave everything that we had to this program, and we got it at least back on the right course. I can say the same thing for the young guys, right? Maybe the season is going how they wanted it. Maybe it's not. I don't know. But with so many veterans departing, we talked about it just a few minutes ago, the young guys here in these last three games have a chance to not hijack the operation and be selfish, but to say, this is how we want the program to look. This is our program. We want to be here. We're taking ownership of it. We are setting the standard of play. We are setting the standard of conduct. And that's what these last three games are going to look like for us. No one is guaranteed a spot next year. They can't be. No matter how much you're paid, how little you're paid, how long you've been here, how short you've been at Nebraska, no one's guaranteed a spot. There is enough on the line right now for every player in this program, every coach in this program, that cranking up the heat should be easy if it's done correctly, if it's done in a positive, uplifting, challenging way, not a nitpicky, snippy, you're not doing it in blame game sort of way.
Right, yeah, this is a perfect opportunity to, you know, crank up the intensity. One, you want to see how the young guys react to it, and then also you want to make the older guys, you know, definitely adjust to it. But also when you think about it, right now, right, this is the underclassmen's team.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's up to the seniors to hand it over the right way. It's still the seniors' team perception, right? The elder statements, right? But now it's time for you to, you know, hand it over. Now that, you know, even though, like, you know, Dylan, you know, you're nine games in, you're no longer a freshman. All right, dude, this is your team. Now we're not thinking the next year, but now it's time to start to really start to, you know, okay, you've seen enough. Now it's time for you to really start leading. Young guys, this is now your team. What do you want to do with it? Older guys, let's push, do this last push, get this last three game, like I call legacy games, and hand it over the right way so it's done. So then it's rinse and repeat. It's not rebuild, it's reload.
Yes.
Right? That's got to, we want to get to the point where we're reloading every year, not rebuilding. So that's what they're trying to do. Also got an unknown texter. It's old dad 34. He asked me if Matt Rhule and those guys are the staff. Yeah, I think Matt Rhule is the right guy and the staff's the right staff. I know you're tired of losing. Everybody's tired of losing. And I know they are trying diligently to get it right. But he's the right guy, and they'll get it right. I got confidence. But with that being said, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and do some Big Ten picks and big game picks. You know what, Austin? We're going to start this bad boy off of, I think, with the outside of the Big Ten picks. Mm. Because I think those games, man.
Woo!
Everybody talks about the Boise State. What's his name? Janty.
Yeah, Ashton Janney.
Ashton Janney, that is the best running back. Well, listen here, Texas Tech has the second best running back. You know, he's Warren good. Sapp said they're packing the defense. We're about to see. So, anyways, we're gonna take a quick break. Jay Foreman, Austin Norman, Old School. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Old School with DP and Jay. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. And now during our Black Friday sale, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed. Plus special financing. Limited time. Find a store near you. Visit sleepnumber.com.